following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just, it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
On this Tuesday, Doug Duda, Damon Day, Hall of Fame Day all of a sudden. We've got UNK Hall of Fame, Nebraska Football Hall of Fame. We've got 14 teams in 14 days. You in any Hall of Fames?
No, sir.
You sure?
Positive.
You sure I could kid you in one?
No. I was never the lead. I never played the lead role in anything.
Oh, okay. How was vacation?
Short. Too short. No, it was good. It was good. It's just a crazy time of year. I always joke that November is really downtime.
That's your downtime?
That's your downtime because you can't really recruit. The boys are fall balls over with, so you kind of already know what you got. So November's kind of the big downtime. But it was crazy how you finally put a week aside to go on vacation, and it seems like everything hits that week. This guy wants to talk. This guy, it just gets crazy in recruiting circles. And so,
did you shut the phone off?
No, not when these types of recruits are calling.
Okay.
When these types of guys, when you're calling this late, that means something went wrong with a bigger school.
Okay.
So you usually got to take those calls.
There you go. Well, calling us, it's 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You'll need that number later on for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Chance to win a $25 gift card to Troutman's Quality Meats. Also, anytime you want to join us on the show, have a comment, have a thought, have a question, have an opinion, we'd love to hear from you anytime. You can tweet us or Facebook us or email us. At ESPN 1460, 1550 is the Twitter address, at ESPN 1460, 1550. Dead Popper inbox for all your emails, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. And, of course, Facebook is at ESPN Superstation. All-Star break going on, and we've got the All-Star game coming your way tonight. Will you sit and watch, and did you watch the Home Run Derby last night?
I did watch the Home Run Derby last night. Everybody knows I have a son and love hanging out with him, and to see the Home Run Derby through his eyes made it a way cooler experience than just sitting down and watching it. I think if you have a young baseball fan, someone who really loves the game, and to see just the awe and the excitement of seeing balls hit that far made it just an awesome, awesome evening. And so, no, I will not probably – I will sit down after Golf League, obviously, and try to watch it. But I'm actually going to DVR it And then tomorrow night, me and Bubba are going to watch it, and just because it's Jeter's last one.
Yeah, I was surprised this morning because if you've been on social media, you've saw the Jordan Nike ad that's going to come out tonight, the respect if you've got a chance. And it's been all over the television programs and Good Morning America and ESPN and everything this morning. So it's not going to be a big surprise. And it's pretty cool. It's that everybody kind of tipping their cap to Derek Jeter.
I would put it in the top five commercials of all time.
It's Super Bowl-esque.
Oh, it is. It is. It's just that Nike machine, again, just doing it right, doing it full tilt. And obviously the man has earned that, in my opinion, and that type of respect. I don't think – I mean, you can talk about all the different athletes that have transcended, but for a baseball kid who actually got to play against Derek Jeter back in Grand Rapids, Michigan – little yearbook, bring out the yearbook.
What?
Yeah, I got to play against Jeter.
What?
Yeah. And so I've always just had the utmost respect for the way he played the game, the way he carried himself, the way he went about doing his business. He is somebody as someone who tries to pick players out to emulate to your program, you know, that was the guy you always came back to. He was never in the headlines for the wrong reasons. He never... You know, he always deflected the attention away. And so I've been really watching this year as many games as I can just to his final farewell. And I think it's amazing how well respected he is. I mean, and when you say the captain.
Well, he should be.
Yeah.
He should be.
He's earned it.
He should be, and everyone that knows me or knows this show over the last decade knows my disdain for the Yankees. I probably hate them more than any other sports organization known to mankind, but that doesn't mean that they don't have a player from time to time that you can respect and you know, that you don't feel bad for rooting for, and Jeter would definitely be one of those guys. That used to just be reserved for, like, old Royals that showed up there and got to play, but Jeter would be one of those that, yeah, you can root for. All-Star game tonight, coverage all day long. It will start at 6 o'clock. Right after Hail Varsity, and then first pitch will be whenever Fox wants it to be. Depends how long the pregame ceremonies are. They say 7, could be 7:30. It'll be sometime in there this evening.
Did you watch Home Run Derby?
Yeah, I watched most of it. You know what? I didn't. I did not keep my eyes open for the entire final, but there was a wow moment where I yelled at the TV and went, "Oh!" You know, and it, you hit a home run 510 estimated feet. I mean, that's, what was it, about 8-10 rows from going out of the entire ballpark last night?
I think if you are a true fan of baseball and understand how hard it is to hit a baseball, to watch those guys, and I understand the pitcher serving them up. I don't know how many people there are in our listening audience that could hit one out of Target Field. I mean, that's a man's blast, especially yesterday, heavy air, cooler temperatures. I mean, it was amazing what those guys were doing at that field.
Who you got in the game tonight?
Oh, I don't. It don't even matter. It doesn't. You know, I just hope they do something cool with Jeter like they did with Ripken, and that's why I'm DVRing.
You think they save Kershaw for the ninth?
Oh, I'd be really upset if I'm Don Mattingly. Really upset if I'm Don Mattingly.
Why? What's the difference?
Oh, pitch the second of the ninth. You make him sit there for 8 innings, totally out of routine, totally out of everything else, not knowing exactly. I mean, I would be furious if I'm Don Mattingly.
Hmm. Well, we'll see how she plays out tonight. There's so many good players, and Salvi Perez gets the start for the Royals.
How about that standing ovation on Sunday when Salvi pinch hit against the Tigers? That was cool.
Yeah, pretty cool stuff.
That was cool for him.
Thank God they at least won a game. 6.5 back going into the break, which...
You can't be upset about that.
No, you can't be. That's just it. That's one of those things where over the last, if you've been a Royals fan, if you say any of the years, how many times have they been within 10 games
they've
at the break?
6.5 back from the team that's only 4, you know, yeah. They've been 6.5 back from being
last.
Out of the basement.
Yeah, and so there you have it. We'll have the All-Star game tonight, had the Home Run Derby last night. Of course, the British Open gets going this weekend. They tee it off. Let's see, this Tuesday, so like technically it'll be overnight. It's like at 7 in the morning our time, or their time. It's like a midnight, 12:30 tomorrow night.
I don't dictate what we discuss on the show. I more let you take the lead. But I would just like to say what a huge fan of LeBron James I am. And I am man enough to admit My son doesn't get it yet. Why one day we absolutely hate him, and on a Friday I'm at the zoo in Omaha with my family, my best friend, and our families are all together, and my phone blows up. Like, my wife's like, "What happened?" And it's texts from every person that I know about he's back, King, all this stuff. And I mean, literally, I probably had 25 text messages in a 10-minute period. And I yell out, "LeBron James, the king is back." And Bubba looks at me. He's like, "Daddy, we don't like LeBron James." I'm like, "Bubba, we do now."
He's coming home.
He's home, baby.
Home sweet home, home, baby.
And now I love the USA basketball team again. And I mean, life is good in my NBA hoops era.
Is it true that while you were at the zoo, then you went to one of those paint places and just did the red, white, and blue chest paint and just kind of did that the rest of the day?
I face painted. You know, they usually put little animals on your. I asked for the full, you know, full on Cleveland. You know, I had the Browns, I had the Indians, had the Cavs down the middle. Ripped my shirt off, did a couple laps. Buddy's back.
How was the zoo? Loved it.
The
Henry Dorley Zoo.
The zoo was awesome. Absolutely awesome. Their tribute to Rosenblatt is as coolly done as I think. What was really cool was all the Nebraska kids who have played in the College World Series. I thought that was really cool. I showed Bubba. I was like, "Someday maybe your name could be on." You know, he thought that was really cool. So that whole thing was really awesome. But just the zoo in general is just it is a really cool place. I really enjoy going to the zoo.
Paul McCartney sold out last night. Heard it was a great show down at Pinnacle Bank Arena. So that's cool, something that just doesn't happen very often. We get something cool like that. And then on the other side of the spectrum, Thursday night at Council Bluffs, it's Hank Williams Jr. and Ted Nugent. So I ask you, Damon, which of those two concerts, if you had free tickets, would you go to, Paul McCartney or Hank Jr. and Ted Nugent?
I think anybody who knows me would go with the Hank Jr. I don't think I'm sophisticated enough to listen to Paul McCartney.
Let me look at this.
He's the head singer of what? The
who? The what?
I'm about to make myself sound really stupid, so I'm not even.
Paul McCartney. You mean your question was about Paul McCartney?
Yeah. Who is he? The head singer?
The Beatles.
Okay. I was about to say Rolling Stones.
But you know the great part about that is. That just shows how you're becoming more of a USA person now, because that's English.
Oh, there
that's
you
England.
Go. There
you know, go. In your old communist days, there you might go. Have stayed overseas and hung out with you know, countries that didn't. So that's fine. You don't have to play dumb on the shore. You can just be dumb. That's the beauty
of the show. I honestly did not know who Paul. I thought the guy who got shot, John Lennon, was the lead singer of the Beatles.
Well, he was one of the two. And then Ringo played the drums.
Who's the fourth
George
Beatle?
Harrison.
Okay.
Guitar.
Now, was there a fifth Beatle? Or is that always a joke?
There was an original drummer. Is it Pete Best, I believe, was the poor guy that started with them before they were even really the Beatles. And then Ringo took his spot, and kind of the rest is history. So there you go. It's like the first baseman when Lou Gehrig replaced him because he was sick that day.
Wally Pip.
There you go. Midtown Mart cooler question. We'll throw this one at you. Midtown Mart of Hastings. Home. Really? That's the question. Really? We may have to suspend the show. I was going to ask, will you watch more soccer now because of the World Cup? Will you watch anything else with soccer? No. Because as Mike and Mike were talking about this morning, Mike Golick says, "I was rooting for Team USA. That's what I was trying to say for a whole month. I was rooting for
Team
USA."
I was as well.
But that's not our question.
Despite my communist reputation.
That's not our question. Midtown Mart, cooler question. Who will win the All-Star game? It was right down the middle, basically. 55% American League, 45% National League. Who wins more games next season, the Heat or the Cavs? Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. You can vote anytime at ESPNSuperstation.com. Who you got, Heat or Cavs?
Cavs.
Okay, good enough. We'll take a break. Be back. Russ Hochstein, going into the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame. He will join us. Brian Barnhart, voice of the Fighting Illini. It's all coming up.
What does success look like for you? Maybe it's time to start something new at Complete Nutrition, a clean, comfortable place where you can discuss your health and nutritional needs on a personal level. It's more than just a store. It's an experience. Want a supplement plan that works with your lifestyle? For mature men, there's TrueForm from Complete Nutrition. This daily metabolism-boosting multivitamin has everything you need for long-term wellness. TrueForm supports heart health, a better prostate, energy, mood, memory, and reinvigorates male vitality. TrueForm Power and Performance, a multivitamin for men. Complete Nutrition. Success starts here.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Look, feel, perform better. Complete Nutrition.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see sunny skies in our forecast for today with a high near 73 degrees. And we'll have increasing cloud cover tonight with a slight chance for an overnight shower or storm. It's at a low of 55. I'm meteorologist Sam Donaisky. Right now it's 64.
Doug and Danny Schoen, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, back at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Doug Duda, Damon Day with you. On this Tuesday, as we said, it kind of turned into Hall of Fame Day. We'll talk about UNK's entire athletic Hall of Fame class coming up. Late yesterday, the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame announced its 2014 class. And sometimes you recognize and sometimes you don't. And I'll tell you what, pretty much recognize the whole class first. The state college player is UNK's Justin Coleman. Congratulations to him. He'll join us on the Doug and Daddy Show tomorrow. But Nebraska's all-time leading tackler, Barrett Rood, he's going in along with Lexington's Mike Mandelko, All-Big 8 offensive guard, 71 All-Big 8 offensive tackle Carl Johnson, and maybe headlining this class is our next guest, All-American, 12-year NFL veteran, three-time Super Bowl champion with the Patriots. It is Russ Hochstein, the pride of Hardington, Nebraska. It's been a while, Russell. Good morning and congratulations.
Well, good morning to you guys as well. How you been?
Well, we're doing great, and I can't tell you when you get to the kind of a, it's a slow part of the season over the Major League Baseball All-Star break, and high school stuff hasn't started up here yet, and the Huskers are getting ready. But when something like this comes across, I have to admit it did bring a smile to my face to see all the names. This is not just you, but this is a pretty select four ex-Huskers that are going into this class. Just your thoughts about getting in and the other three that you'll be going in with.
Well, number one, I'd like to congratulate all the other guys who are going in. Of course, I know Barrett Rood and I also know Justin Coleman. We're the same age, and we have a little history back in the day when we played hoops together for the Valentinos team back in the day. But I'd like to congratulate all those guys and thank everyone out there who remembers guys like me and for keeping us in there a little bit. But we're really happy and excited and humbled at the same time.
Russ, let's catch up. I'm not sure that we actually have had you on the show since you have retired from the National Football League and the career is over. What's going on now? I know you're still out there in Boston with plenty of roots here in Nebraska, but let the fans know what's going on with Russ Hochstein these days.
Well, I'm yes, I live out on the East Coast, and I have three kids of my own now, and I have three under the age of five, so it's kind of chaos around my house every day, and I think I get a pretty good workout with those three. I'm going to do a little coaching this fall at a high school up there, and I have a job opportunity that I might take this fall starting in September, but staying pretty busy, and I split some time between there and Nebraska and having a lot of fun.
Russ Hochstein joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, going into the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame. The ceremonies are the weekend of September 5th and 6th. That at least brightens up McNeese State weekend with these guys coming in. But, Russell, how long has it been since you've, I guess, because when you're going to come back, probably have a few words to say. How long has it been since you've thought about your playing days at Nebraska now that you had the NFL to worry about?
Well, of course, you know, I have very good friends that I played with here, and my old college roommate lives in Kearney. His name's Kaiser, and so I stay in touch with that group of guys pretty good, and we have a lot of fun. But I'm real happy. I've only been to one live game in the last 14 years. The 12 years I was in the NFL, it never worked out where I could really come back logistically and see a game, but I got to see one over the years and a couple spring games and things like that. So I definitely miss coming to the games, but I watch religiously as much as I can. And I'm always rooting hard for the guys and to carry on a good tradition and have a lot of fun with it. And it's fun to look back in college and talk to the old guys I played with. And we had a lot of great memories, and we were part of a great era of football. And I'm hoping that they continue that and it can work going forward.
Damon Day here, and I'm not a native Nebraskan, so I apologize for my ignorance. But you mentioned looking back on your memories and of your playing days. What were some of your fondest memories, or what was kind of what you felt like was the pinnacle of your college career?
Well, I'll tell you, the whole thing is what I people always ask those questions of what to pick out. You know, other than we had some great games that we were involved in with. I remember beating Notre Dame up in Notre Dame in overtime, and some of the great matchups we had with Texas in 99. I thought we were having a legit chance at winning the national title that year, and we darn near did. But great games like that, the guys I played with, at number one, they deserve a lot of thanks for this. No player does it alone. Football is the ultimate team sport, and you need great teammates to help and push you and guide you along the way, and I certainly was a product of that, and as well as thanking the coaches that were there then. We had some great coaches, Milt Tenneper, Dan Young, Frank Solich, Tom Osborne, you know the cast characters, and Charlie McBride. Those guys cared about their players, and it was a family atmosphere and a lot of fun, and that's what I look back on more than any specific moment personally was the group and the family that we were a part of.
Russ Hochstein joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. He will be the newest member of the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame this fall. And you kind of touched on it, brought it up there with the coaches, Russ. If you were a Nebraska kid, I'm sure a lot of folks during that time were looking forward to playing for Coach Osborne. But your class kind of ushered in the Frank Solich era. What was that like when the transition? I mean, were you bummed at all? I mean, because I know Coach Osborne was part of the recruiting process and so on.
I mean, well, we were all a little shocked when he announced that he would no longer coach. You kind of go through the shock and awe of that. And then we realized with Frank's taking over and the majority of all the coaching staff staying, that there wasn't much change going to happen. And it really didn't. We ran the same offense, defense, and things. And so they made the transition extremely smooth. And we won some games. And we were competitive, and we're in the hunt, and I think we transitioned out of that really good. Obviously, Coach Osborne is well missed. We all know that, and we all love the guy, but time has to go on with everything we do in life, and he chose to move on a different path, and, and I was quite successful with that too. So, but you know, the program is where it is now, and we're, I think everyone's building on things and trying to see where things go.
Russ, are you one of those nostalgia guys? I mean, did you pay attention to the last tunnel walk and the last this, whether it was college or pro, or are you one of those guys that kind of rolls with the flow?
I'll tell you what, I think I rolled with the flow. I think it was a blur, you know, looking back. You know, everything is, I've always been a forward-looking guy. I've always tried to kind of see what's on the horizon next and push and do what I can for that. And never understanding where you're actually going to land or end up. But I definitely remember the tunnel walks. I definitely remember the national championship game. And like I said, I have so many great memories with the guys I played with and the coaches that were there and the program in general that it's hard to always pick out one. But it truly was a special thing. I grew up in this state. I love this state. I'm invested in the state. And I want nothing but the best for it. And I come back as much as I can. Even though my wife's an East Coaster, I do my best. And so I very much care about it and loved being a part of it. And that's really, when I came out of high school, that's really what I wanted to be. I just was hoping to help my teammates and be a part of the action. And it was like, it was kind of like going to Hollywood out of high school. You know, I went from a small town to a big Division I program that was winning. And that was something in itself at the time, never imagining I'd be where I am now.
Couple of minutes here with Russ Hochstein. We'll wrap things up here with Russ going into the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame. Russell, I have like a book full of questions here from Lauren of Farwell, and some of them I don't think are appropriate to ask you over the airwaves, but I will ask you this. You weren't a perennial all-pro, but you were able to continue to contribute and be a week-to-week and a day-to-day player in the NFL. A lot of these guys that are either walking on at Nebraska or our late round draft picks, free agent selections coming out of the pros. What's that one thing that was able to make you fit in and have a long career, successful at college and long in the NFL, piece of advice that you might give to either the walk on at Nebraska or that guy that's just trying to make a roster this year in the NFL?
Number one, I would say versatility. Be a guy who's willing to help his team. When coaches ask you to play positions you might not be comfortable with, play them, have fun with it, learn from it. And my biggest thing that I did in the NFL to stay around was, and I was blessed again with good coaching in New England and Denver and other places, but, you know, they asked me to do things and I was willing to do them. And some guys weren't, and those guys were out of the league pretty fast. And I had a lot of fun doing it and certainly great memories with that as well. And I have a correction for you guys. When we came on, you said I was a part of, or we won three Super Bowls. I was only there for two. Or excuse me, I played in three, but we only won two. So people get that mixed up sometimes, and I never want to take too much credit for something I wasn't there for.
I can't remember what happened that last time.
Me neither. We went 18-1, and it was tough. So those are haunting memories of that game. But definitely had a lot of fun at them.
You mentioned what a big impact Coach Osborne had on you and obviously getting to play for Coach Belichick, known as one of the greatest NFL coaches. Was there a lot of similarities between Coach Osborne and Coach Belichick, or are they very different?
Oh, I think they're very different. It's like comparing apples to oranges. They are who they are, and they do what they do, and they both have a different way of coaching, whether it be personality or knowledge of the game and what they put in install on offense and defense. So it's hard to ever compare those guys, and I'm truly blessed to have played for both of them. As we know, Coach Osborne is a legend himself, and Bill will probably go down as one of the greatest coaches of all time, if not the best. And he'll be in the Hall of Fame someday, and I'll be rooting him on. He's a good coach, and he understands players well as Osborne does. So they're both very different but great coaches.
And Russell, we'll let you get out of here with this. I don't know the last time you saw your ex-roommate, but he's been working out. He's trim. He's slim. He's hitting the driver a lot better down the middle. Do you have any final words for him before we let you out of here?
Well, number one, I never believe things until I see it. So I'm hoping he's a much slimmer Lauren than I used to know. And I love the guy, and I hope he's doing well. I'm sure he's listening right now, and he deserves a lot of crap from everyone.
Well, he's a good American, and we appreciate you as well, Russell. I can't wait to maybe see you along the road here sometime. Congratulations on the honor. Thanks for chatting with us on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Absolutely, guys. Don't be shy and tell Lauren we said hello.
No problem, buddy. Take care. Russ Hochstein joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And just fun times.
I don't know him.
Great guy. See,
you can just tell. Just in that conversation.
Guy.
I mean, any man that's willing to correct your resume that you gave him too much credit just goes to show you the type of person he was. That guy, he came across very impressive.
He's a great guy, and we'll talk about him more in a moment. We need to take a break here. Brian Barnhart, voice of Fighting Illini, when we come back.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just a great happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
A few years ago, we decided as a company to drop the big franchise name so that we could invest the franchise dollars locally in the good things Kearney has to offer. And in that, I mean the people and what we do for each other. This is Tim Norwood with NP Realty.
NP Realty invites you to enjoy all the cruise night activities in Kearney this week. But please, keep it fun for everyone. Be safe. Be smart.
NP Realty, developing dreams.
It's the 22nd annual anniversary parking lot sale on now at all Graham Tire locations. All tires are on sale. Save on Goodyear, Cooper, Dunlop, Kelly, and Hankook tires. All backed with the lowest price guaranteed. Plus, get manufacturer's rebates up to $160. Save money on auto service, too. Stop in and register to win a set of four new Hankook tires. See store for details. All tires are on sale during the 22nd annual anniversary parking lot sale through Saturday, July 19th. Graham Tire, your tire store next door.
Who likes contracts? Whether it's your gym membership or cell phone service, nobody likes contracts, right? That's why you should choose Prairie iNet. They offer amazing internet service, and you never, never have to sign a contract. You will get fast, reliable service for streaming video, playing online games, and social media. They're locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. And there is no risk with their 30-day money-back guarantee. Remember, no gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable, high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of streaming video, playing online games, and social media. Oh, and how about never having to sign a contract and a 30-day money-back guarantee? Prairie iNet is locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. No gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac. Don't forget to see him out at the Buffalo County Fair next weekend. All kinds of excitement going on. Plus, we'll sign up for a chance to win the Kawasaki Vulcan 900 and a free skydive package courtesy of Atlas Skydive. That's their summer giveaway from the Midway Auto Dealerships. Just have to like them on Facebook or register on their webpage at thinkmidway.com. Think Midway, it's a better way. Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, where a lot of things are going on at Midway. Right now, it's the Chevy Summer Drive event. 0% APR, 72 months on all 2014 Silverado light and heavy-duty pickups through the end of this month, and 0% for 60 months on the 2014 Cruze, Malibu, and Impala models. It is your Midway Auto Dealerships, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. David, you brought up an interesting, as we hook up with Brian Barnhart here of the Illini for our 14 teams in 14 days, you brought up an interesting point about following the major conferences possibly breaking away at some point from the rest of Division I.
Yeah, you know, there's that big discussion now about Division IV, and I don't know what they would call it, but basically Division IV is going to be made up, or the thought process is that it's going to be SEC, Big Ten, ACC, Pac-10, and then the Big 12, and those guys are going to leave the NCAA for more autonomy and more ability to take care of their student-athletes, and it's been a big debate, obviously, because people think, you know, if that happens, that'll have an effect on Division II athletics, from our championships to how things are done at our level. And so you kind of keep an eye on it. You kind of keep hearing this discussion. But at some point, someone's going to realize, of those big five conferences and all the schools that are in them, only 23 of them actually are making money. And then if you take
out of what? What do we got? 60? What's the official number? Do you have the official number?
I do not have the official number. I believe it's 64 schools. Yeah. So about one third. You know, I'm not a math major, but I'll just throw out the 33 percentile on there, because there's other schools that are going to try to get into that, you know, as well, because you're going to have to throw in Notre Dame and so. But it's interesting to me that they're talking about how they want to spend more. But not everybody's making money. You know, when you look at the Pac-10, there's only two schools in the entire Pac-10 that are making money. And now you add in the ACC, there's only one school, and that's Florida State. And that was how much of that? Texas A&M made the most, but how much of that was Johnny Manziel mania and everything like that? So you kind of look at it, and it's like, you guys aren't flush with all this cash. And at some point, someone from the academic side is going to rein in these conference commissioners and say, whoa, how can a Vanderbilt?
Well, and this became big yesterday because it's SEC Media Days. The commissioner that's stepped on this. This is what he wants.
Yes. And I'm just interested to hear some presidents come out, the academic side of some things, some total school budget types of things. You know, because you look at some of these schools and the subsidies that they're getting in subsidies, as I've learned, is basically governmental support for their athletic department. You know, Texas A&M, you know, they got $5.2 million. You know, Arkansas got 1.9, Florida got 4.3, Alabama gets 5.4 from government funds, you know, and so you start to add all those numbers together, and where is all this profit at? I mean, obviously, Nebraska is on there.
A little farther down the list.
They're 14th, I believe, you know, and you think about, they're in probably one of the best college situations ever, because they don't have, they're not really competing with anybody else in their region. You know, Florida State, they're in the same state, you know, so I just find the discussion about Division IV and all this wanting to move, and their basketball tournament's not going to be, you know, you're going to destroy the basketball tournament, you know, I mean, yeah, obviously for football, it might be sound okay, but it's going to destroy, you know, the basketball tournament, you know,
Well, it'll destroy baseball tournament.
Oh yeah. It'll destroy the College World Series and, you know, all those different types of things. And then, so it's just an interesting debate to me, is because I can't figure out how you can fiscally say that this is a good move when not everybody is flush with the money.
You think it'll happen?
Yeah, I think some sort of something's going to happen, and it's going to end up now becoming much more like pro sports, because you're going to have your Yankees, Dodgers, Angels out there spending money, and you're going to have your Minnesota's, Cleveland's, you know, other small market teams, Pittsburgh's, who are going to have to catch lightning in a bottle to keep up with them. And so I just find that to be an interesting debate, because obviously, let's face it, Husker athletics is a really cool, huge part of this state. And I always love when people apologize. Like last week, Randy's like, you know, I apologize, but Huskers is a big deal. Like, just because I'm a UNK guy, and I'm like, me and the Huskers, they're not. They're apples and oranges. It would be a good thing. We don't, you know, there's no comparison. I don't, people are always like, hey, I'm going down to the Husker baseball game. Oh, that's fine. You know, it's okay. I mean, I'm sorry, I haven't been to a Loper game yet. That's fine. Hey, I get it. I
hope they do well, make money, more for the rest of us.
You know, so I just find it such a crazy dynamic and such a discussion and such a huge what if, and what are we going to do, and how do we handle all this? Man, you're going to put yourself in a, to me, and just being around college athletics and just the little bit that I know, and I don't know enough, but you can't – I don't see the support being the same way. And then you got to start worrying about the governor of Delaware, who's all upset that this is going to happen, and now he's going to start pushing Congress and everybody else to pull the NCAA's antitrust exemption and all these tax benefits that they get. And, hey, what happens when someone looks at it and says, oh, Texas A&M, you're a non-for-profit. You don't pay taxes. But you're making, you know, $32 million a year, and that's not being taxed? So it's an interesting debate to me, and that's something that I always kind of, you know, I would love to, you know, see if it's as, you know, Illinois is one of those schools. Illinois, unfortunately, they're going to be on the back half of that 65, 66 schools. They're going to be on the back half of that Division IV just trying to, you know, keep up and do some things. Obviously, their football program isn't where it's at, but basketball can maybe do some things. And they've been successful on the baseball side of some things. And I don't know their history with their female athletic parts or sports, but it's just to me, we're in this big debate in this big hurry to blow up the NCAA and how unfair everything is and how all these – you know what? You could take that whole discussion and boil it down to – and Jay Billis is a very intelligent person, mm-hmm. but his opinion on this whole matter to me is you're not taking into account the college education that you're getting. You're not taking into account the $25,000 a year that – you're not paying that someone else does have to pay. So I think it's an interesting debate.
Well, it's one that's going to be around for quite a while because it would affect everyone. And as you said, something to keep an eye out for. But now we move to 14 teams in 14 days.
It's that time, 14 teams in 14 days, leading you up to Big Ten Media Days July 28th and 29th in Chicago. We'll preview a different team each day. We'll head to the Big Ten West Division for today's team.
Illinois.
The Fighting Illini.
It's time for 14 teams in 14 days now on the Doug and Daddy Show.
And joining us today to preview the Fighting Illini of Illinois, the voice of Illinois football, Brian Barnhart, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Damon Day with you on this Tuesday morning. Brian, good morning. Thanks for the time. How are you?
Hey, no problem, guys. How are you?
Well, we're doing good, and we want to find out a little bit about an Illinois football team that Nebraska will be visiting to open up a conference play this year, September the 27th. And last year, obviously, when we were talking, there had to be improvement off of a 2-10 season. Started well, 3-1, nice win against Cincinnati, and some close games, a couple of opportunities in the Big Ten, but just didn't get it done. What was the key that didn't get it done last year for Illinois that maybe will get things done this year?
Well, you know, the biggest difference, I mean, the biggest problem they had was, well, 2 years ago in Tim Beckman's first year was they had an offense that really struggled, averaged about 18, 19 points a game, and a defense that gave up about double that. Last year, the offense under the new offensive coordinator, Bill Cubitt, took off and basically doubled what they had scored from the year before, not quite, but almost. But the point, they just gave up the same number of points, and the defense struggled to stop people. So at times, the offense just could not keep up with the number of points and yards that the defense was giving up. And that was probably the biggest factor in a season that, you know, they had a couple of games on the table that they left. I mean, one was at Penn State. They're about one or two plays away from winning in Happy Valley, and the game went to overtime, and Penn State eventually won it. But Illinois was a first down away from winning. And then the Northwestern game at home at the end of the year was another game they had right there on the table and didn't get it done. So there was a couple of games that slipped away that cost them a better season than they had. I think people were really excited about the offense. They're excited about the offense again this year. Big question is, and the defensive staff stayed intact, is can they plug in guys? Do they have the playmakers? Do they have some guys that can step up in a different way too and get some help as well from junior college and improve the defense enough to allow an offense that is really pretty good, one of the better ones in the Big Ten, to, you know, to win those ball games that they fell short in last year.
Brian, obviously it's finally the post-Nate Shieldhouse era. Everybody thinks he'd been there about 7-8 years, but is there a quarterback battle, or did coming out of spring they find the man in Wes or Riley to take the reins?
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, you're right, because Nathan's been here. He was a 50-year guy, and, you know, he was around for a long time. And in the time I've been doing the games, and I go back 13, 14 years, but basically over the last 8 years, it's been Nathan Shielhaus and then Juice Williams before that, and they are 1-2 all-time in total yardage at Illinois. So we've had two guys basically hold the office, if you will. So, you know, this year, you know, there's been a three-way battle. There was throughout camp. Although I think most people agree, you know, the coaches have not said, you know, who the starter is going to be. But I think just by the ability that he brings to the table, his experience, having played and started at Oklahoma State, Wes Lunt is a guy that I think most people are looking at probably as the starter. You know, Aaron Bailey with Riley O'Toole, the two guys that are battling with him, they all got about the equal number of snaps in the spring. But, you know, I think O'Toole has been a very serviceable backup and a guy that, you know, does a nice job, and he's a great team player, and everybody on the team likes him, so I think he's in a good for that role. And Aaron Bailey gives you a little different look, too. You can bring him in on wildcat plays. You can bring him in as a, you know, move him around the field and do some different things with him. So, you know, all three of those guys are going to play, I believe, but I think that when it's said and done, the guy you want, I would think, as your starter, is a guy that's shown us you know, last year when he was redshirting in different practices that we were able to see that, you know, he's the real deal.
Damon Day here. You mentioned how much excitement there is around the offensive side of the ball and some of the things that the new offensive coordinator has been able to do. What are the big concerns on the defensive side? What are they lacking to at least be a competent defense for Illinois this year?
Well, for a few years when Ron Zook was with us, you know, you had the Corey Legits. You had the guys in the middle that were big run stoppers, and you're seeing a few of those guys sprinkled around the NFL. And I think that was one of the problems that we had the last couple of years, is once the guys that were here, you know, went to the NFL and moved on, the guys that were their backups became the starters, but they weren't quite as big and as physical. Just being able to stop the run, getting pressure on the quarterback. If you look at our stats last year, we just hardly got any turnovers. And as you guys know, I mean, turnovers are the key, one of the most important stats of all. And you got to turn the ball over, and you got to give your get your defense off the field and give your offense a chance. And we just couldn't get any turnovers. You know, had trouble stopping the run, had trouble stopping the pass, and it was, you know, I think. But up front, as you know, is where it starts. And I think we just got to, you know, get some guys in there with that are quick, and they've moved some different guys around to different positions in the spring, trying to get their best athletes in some of their key spots. Whether it's on the edge, whether it's a Leo, whether it's a hybrid position on the defensive side, and take advantage of every opportunity they have. And they've got some junior college guys coming back for their second year. I think they'll be another year better just with their experience. A couple of those guys came on at the end of last year. So, but, you know, just getting giving yourself a chance, stopping the run up the middle. And, hey, a lot of teams give up a lot of yards anymore. Missouri gives up yards. Auburn gives up tons of yards. But we just gave up more than that, and just too many points in the red zone, especially.
Brian Barnhart, voice of the Fighting Illini, joining us here to preview Illinois on the Doug and Daddy Show. I've heard you already multiple times talk about JUCO. Is that the way it's going to be for Illinois for quite a while, that they're going to have to continue? I mean, every new coach does have to go that route from time to time, but are they going to have to continually go the JUCO route for the foreseeable future, or how is their recruiting base?
Well, I think the recruiting's been coming on here this last class. Tim Beckman's done a really good job. He was, I think, he and his staff, when he was at Toledo in the Mid-American Conference, you know, always had the top recruited classes in that league. And I realize we're talking different leagues, but, you know, I think he's getting the kind of players he wants. You know, most of the, what, three-fourths of the team, if not more now, is all his guys. Illinois traditionally has not gone much the junior college route. Mike White did some back in the 80s when he came in. In some of the years he had, but it had been a while, one here, one there, and a little more here this last year or so, because Illinois was so thin in so many spots. Some of the tail end of Ron Zook's recruiting classes at the very end, a lot of the guys either left or didn't make it, or, you know, had other issues, they transferred or whatever. And so Tim Beckman was, you know, that was the cupboard was bare, very thin in a lot of spots on defense. So he had to almost go that route. I don't think it's an area they're going to, you know, they're not going to get, you know, 8 or 10 guys, but can they get 2 or 3 every year? I think they certainly could. Illinois' academic standards are really, really really, really strong. It prides itself on that, being in the Big Ten Conference. And, you know, I think that, you know, they go out and they, you know, basically cast the net, see what's out there, draw it in from wherever it is, California or Arizona and whatever. And they've gotten some great kids doing that. But I don't think it's a route they're going to specifically go to like a K-State has done over the years. I think it's a route that they'll choose their spots when to do it.
You mentioned Illinois being a proud member of the Big Ten. They're an original member of the Big Ten. Overall, what is the feeling about the expansion of the Big Ten becoming so big and going eastward? What is the overall vibe of the athletic department and obviously especially the football program with the Big Ten continuing to, now it sounds like they're not going to expand much more, but with the expansion efforts?
Well, I think, you know, most people were welcome from Nebraska, because it made it a round number again, you know, an even number, 12. And that helped with scheduling and so forth. You know, I think people were, you know, in Nebraska's a big name, obviously. So I think people recognized the brand and the value they brought to the table. I don't know if as many people in this area are sold on, you know, Maryland and Rutgers, and those are nice places. I've been to both and called games from both in good universities. I just think most collegiate fans in this area, whether in Illinois or Iowa or Minnesota or whatever, still kind of have a tough time digesting that, really, they're in our conference? I mean, that's way out there. And a lot of that, I think, more had to do with financial reasons. Maryland was struggling and losing a lot of money and losing programs and needed what the Big Ten network brings to the table. And Rutgers, certainly for the Big Ten, benefits them being in the New Jersey and New York area. So I think it was financially beneficial for both with the Maryland-Rutgers additions, and I think people kind of perceive it that way. With Nebraska, there may have been some of that, but I think it was more tradition and name recognition and what they brought to the conference too. So I think the perception's a little different. Maybe not the Rutgers-Maryland addition may not be as popular as the Nebraska one was.
Talk with Brian Barnhart, voice of the Illinois Fighting Illini here on the Doug and Daddy Show. As I look back at the team here, Brian, sometimes fans don't pay as much attention to it as they should, but this looks like a pretty solid special teams unit. You've got a very good returner in Bentley, solid in the kicking and the place kicking and punting. Tell me a little bit, this could be something that wins a game or two for Illinois.
Yeah, and that was something for several years that it cost us games. It was either neutral or didn't, or cost Illinois football games, you know, in close games. And, you know, you can lose a lot of games, those special teams plays. You know, there's only a handful of them, but boy, are they huge. And yeah, V'Angelo Bentley is back. You know, he had a kickoff return, 100 yards, punt return, touchdown last year. So that last year, the special teams, especially returning the ball, became not just a neutral or a negative, but a real positive. And that helped a lot with our scoring too. So, yeah, and the kickers are experienced. You know, the snapper's back again. He's got a really good breadth of experience to help us up front with that and getting the ball safely back. So, yeah, the special teams have improved a lot here in the last couple of years, and it's become more of an asset. And as you guys well know, I mean, it's overlooked a lot of times, but, boy, those special teams are really, really important.
And obviously, it's always interesting to see who comes to Big Ten Media Days, and you've got a tight end, a defensive lineman, an offensive tackle. They may not get that much publicity out there, but tell us about Simon John and Austin and anything interesting we should know about those guys.
Well, you know, all three of those guys are experienced. You know, they're leaders on their team. You're right, sometimes they get overlooked, you know, even within the conference itself, but you know, all three of those guys are great spokesmen for the university. They're going to represent us well. And it's fun to see because, you know, each year you wonder who the guys are going to be. And, you know, sometimes you can pick them off the top of your head. Well, yeah, it's Nathan Schielhaus, obviously. That's an easy one, you know, in years past. But all three of those guys are just really good spokesmen. And I think people that meet them up there in Chicago will be really impressed with what they have to say and what they bring to the table.
I'm not going to ask how to spell it, but it's Sivjanovic. Am I close?
Yeah, it's Simon Savanovic.
Savanovic.
Yep, Savanovic. So
that's what happens in the off season. We don't go back to our spelling chart too quickly. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Well, Simon and I have my broadcast partner is Kurt Kittner, who played quarterback at Illinois, and It led him to the Sugar Bowl back over well over a decade ago. But he's actually married to a former student athlete at Illinois, a former tennis player who's from Croatia. Her family is. So any pronunciations from that part of the world or that look on the chart, I usually get help from Kurt or his wife. So.
Well, let's take a look at the schedule. Manageable. Washington is the key non-conference game. Western Kentucky, Youngstown State, Texas State all coming in. And I guess when you're trying to make improvement, everybody on your conference schedule seems to be a tough game. What's your thoughts, non-conference and the way it plays out this year?
Yeah, well, I think this last year that was the thing that hurt Illinois. Was you mentioned the good start, and then the schedule just turned nasty. You know, at Nebraska and all these different road games in the Big Ten that were pretty tough. And even the home games were tough with tough opponents. This year, the schedule is a little more favorable in the way it breaks down. You know, you mentioned the teams that are early, Youngstown State, at Texas State. I mean, those are games you should win. Washington is obviously a tall order, although Illinois played them really close at Soldier Field last year, gave them a run for their money there at the home of the Bears. But that's a long trip, and that's always tough. So, and then you look at the games with Nebraska and the tough games this year at Wisconsin, that's a tough one, obviously, at Camp Randall. But you've got some home games you can win. Purdue's come to town. You beat Purdue last year in West Lafayette. You've got, Minnesota. You're at Northwestern, which was a game at home you could have won. You know, they're somewhere in that mix. You know, you can put together six wins, seven wins. I mean, I think that would be a nice step forward, get back to a bowl game for the first time in a couple of years. And I think that's a reasonable goal to look at. And if you steal one somewhere else, then you've had a really fantastic year. So that's one of those things that, from the depths of where we were a couple of years ago when Tim Beckman first came in and rebuilding, he's taken little steps forward, little steps. And then this is an important year to just to take a bigger step and get a couple more of those games that you could have had last year. And the schedule, certainly at home anyway, breaks in their favor, I think.
And going back to the expansion to 14, is it favor, hurt, make a difference for Illinois?
Oh, as far as Maryland or Rutgers?
Yeah, the way the division split down.
I don't know if it's we're not going to see them that often, I don't think. Obviously they're going to rotate through. You play the teams in your division and whatever it is, a team or two from the other division. So, I mean, I don't think the impact they'll have on us will, Rutgers was really good. Greg Schiano had them at a very high level. I think they've been average, and Maryland has been streaky up and down. We're not going to see them that often, and when we do, I think, certainly it's a game that you'd like to think you'd have a chance with.
Well, Brian, we'll let you get back to your day. Always appreciate chatting with you on the Doug and Daddy Show, and look forward to another great college football season, and we'll chat with you probably towards the end of September.
Yeah, well, look forward to it, and see you guys in Chicago here in a couple weeks.
That sounds great. Have a good one.
Okay, thanks.
Take care. Doug and Daddy Show, Brian Barnhart joining us, 14 teams, 14 days. And tomorrow we're going to talk Indiana because we couldn't stand the thought of talking Indiana the day you're on the show.
Oh, without a doubt. Am I going to Chicago?
You said you were busy.
Well, he just said I was going to be there.
See you in Chicago.
Food in Chicago.
Love to have you.
Giordano's, baby.
Love to have you. Love to have you. Even take you to a baseball game. Cubs Cards.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Good rivalry game.
Yeah. So there you go. There you go. Looking at Illinois, yes, they should be 3-1. Western Kentucky is a crazy one because from time to time, coming out of that Sun Belt, they make a lot of noise. But and Youngstown State has had a proud program, and they'd like nothing more than knocking off one of the bigger kids on the block. But at Washington, going to be extremely tough with Chris Peterson moving in there and the coaching change. They've built it pretty good there. They opened their conference at Nebraska, but they went from zero wins in the conference in 2012 to one conference win last year. And Damon, three max this year. And that's, I'm saying two. I think they have Purdue at home, so they get Purdue. But then who do you get? At Nebraska, at Wisconsin, at Ohio State, at Northwestern. That's a rivalry game with Northwestern.
I don't see them winning a road game.
And then
I don't. Their schedule doesn't set up very well for them to win one on the road.
Purdue, Minnesota, Iowa, Penn State. I think when you give them Purdue, let's give them that. Minnesota, Iowa, Penn State. I think they can get at least one of those. You don't know which one, but I think they can get one of those.
You know, Purdue's in an interesting boat because Purdue's kind of in the same boat as Illinois is. You know, they haven't made as many strides as obviously Illinois has, but they're similar in their new coaches from the MAC trying to move up to the big boy college ranks. And so, yeah, you would hope since it's a home game, you'd give the advantage to Illinois. But, man, that road schedule just does not bode well for me. To in my opinion, for them to be ultra successful. But, you know, when you only got to win two conference games to make it a better year than the previous year, you know, you can hopefully make some things happen. I just, you know, from a Husker fan's perspective, you know, that game on the 27th, when they're at Memorial, game should not be in question. You know, I still think that Illinois is not the type of team that can come in and give the Nebraska a run for their money at their place.
No, they better not.
Right. I mean, if you want the Huskers to be where we think they should be, you would hope that would be a relatively chalk one up for the W and for the Huskers.
Yeah, that would be nervous time if Nebraska dropped the conference opener. Let's get right into it. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Let's do it right now at 888-455-ESPN. If you have not won in the last 2 months, then you are eligible. We will ask a trivia question. If you get it right, a $25 gift card comes your way to Troutman's Quality Meats. 888-455-3776. 888-455-3776. We'd love to hear from you for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, and we'll get into that here in just a moment. So call now. If you haven't won in the last 2 months, you are eligible. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia, 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with?
Trent.
Who won the first Major League Baseball home run derby?
Can you give me a hint?
Yeah, I'll give you a hint. He was a Cincinnati Red.
Pete Rose.
Not Pete Rose. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with?
Wesker.
Let me ask you, who was the first Major League Baseball home run derby champion?
Daryl Strawberry.
It was not Daryl Strawberry. Try back. 888-455. Now, we're 1,000,000% positive on this, right? Producer Jeff? Yes, I know we are, because I just want to make sure, because I knew Daryl Strawberry would be one of the guesses, because they showed him a lot last night. Not the case. Actually, Daryl was co-winner with Wally Joyner. let's roll on here with the Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who are we chatting with?
Dave.
Dave, last night in the Home Run Derby, your winner was Cespedes from Oakland. He went against, in the finals, Cincinnati's Todd Frazier. Todd Frazier went to a Big Ten school. Which one did he go to?
Michigan.
It is not Michigan. Try back. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who are we chatting with?
Kurt.
Kurt, which Big Ten school did Cincinnati's Todd Frazier attend?
Todd Frazier?
Yeah, he was the runner-up in the home run derby last night.
Boy, I'm going to have to say, was it Indiana?
No, not Indiana. Thanks for trying. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with?
Trent.
Trent, which school did Cincinnati's Todd Frazier attend in the Big Ten?
Ohio State.
It is not Ohio State. Try back. 888-455-3776. 888-455-3776. Who are we chatting with?
Wes.
As hard as this is to believe, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In the first 5 years of the Home Run Derby, two Chicago Cubs won. Can you name those two Cubs?
Ryan Sandberg.
Correct.
Dawson.
Oh, you got to give your helper half of it. You got to give. I thought Ryan Sandberg was the trick part, but that's correct. Andre Dawson in 87 and Ryan Sandberg at Wrigley Field in 1990. You are the Troutman's Tuesday Trivia winner. Congratulations. And hang on the line. Jeff will get you hooked up. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, sir.
Dave Parker, the first home run champion, 85 for the Cincinnati Reds, and Cincinnati Reds Todd Frazier, who was the runner-up last night. Oh, it was a little trick question.
It was a little trick question.
Rutgers! Yeah, Rutgers, they've been a member for 14 days, 15 days now, but it's Rutgers. A little trick
technicality.
Question. That's true. What's on your mind, man?
Nothing.
Oh, I thought you had some notes there for me.
Oh, no, I got a great trivia question.
Is it one we can use next week?
Next week for Troutman's Tuesday trivia. Okay. It'll be my question. It's a very good one, because I don't know if you're not from that area, if you'll even be able to fathom.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a toughie.
Cool.
I'm not going to say it's state Jason Stark-like, but it's a good trivia question. British Open. We didn't get a chance to discuss, as both of us being avid golfers, Field or Tiger?
Oh, Field.
Okay.
Field. No doubt about it. In fact, we were talking a little bit about it last night. I have a hard time thinking that anybody on that front page of the odds board in that 12 to 1 is the – you can get 12 to 1 on anybody. You know, there's no 2 to 1, 4 to 1, 6 to 1, 12 to 1. And we'll look at that here in just a second as we pull up the latest odds. But I think Adam Scott, just because he is – I know he's number one in the world, but he's actually played – fairly well in these tournaments. Someday Lee Westwood's going to win it. Other days, I just don't see Tiger, Phil, Rory winning this year's. I think it's going to be somebody that's 50 to 1 or longer, a 50 to 1 shot or longer. Adam Scott's 12 to 1, Tiger's 15, Rory's 15. According to Vegas Insider, Henrik Stenson, 18, Keimer, Rose, Day, Sergio, Phil, Graham McDowell, Jordan Spieth. You know, Spieth is going to get one. I mean, he's just good. Lee Westwood, Bubba Watson, Dustin Johnson. They always think that these bombers courses, like you think that it could be, you can just let it roll and roll. I just don't see Johnson doing it. Kuchar, he could be a great one. Cabrera, I think he would be a great pick. He is at 50 to 1. Fowler, Snedeker, 50 to 1. Schwartzel, Zach Johnson, Oosthuizen. Those are some of the guys. I'll tell you, I just love to see Jimenez be in contention. Get four rounds, not three. He always gets three and then shoots 78 sometime. So that's what I'm looking at.
I was humbled watching the Greenbrier when Cabrera won it, and he was on a par 3, 194 yards, and they're like, he's got an 8-iron. I was like, okay. I need to get out like the hybrid or a 3-wood into that type of win. But I think Angel Cabrera is somebody that can do it. Like, I agree with you. Dustin Johnson, and he doesn't have the short game or that patient type of mentality, in my opinion. Obviously, you know, his one big run at a major was at a American Lynx style course up at Whistling Straits. Keimer and Rose are the two that are most interesting to me. You know, but Keimer's U.S. Open win was such an aberration from where he was playing. I mean, let's face
it. But he's not there anymore. People have to realize that he is back. He's back. He's back to the old Keimer.
Yeah, you know, well, what was it? No, I mean, yeah.
No,
to me, he's not back. I mean, to me, he put together four great days and just ran away with the U.S. Open on a course that you know, played very well to his strengths. But then he goes out and misses his next two cuts. Now, how much does that have to do with these from Germany? Not many people from Germany, except for, I think, Bernhard Langer, has ever won a U.S. Open, so you wonder how much practicing and everything else. But Keimer, Rose. But Rose, you can kick off the board because that's three tournaments in a row that he wins.
Yeah, I didn't have
that. You know, so I agree. I think it's going to be somebody that you – and I always love the British Open because they'll just be some guy. There will be a guy that you're like – as a media person, you're thumbing through trying to find out.
And he'll be there till Sunday.
Yeah, and then Sunday.
There's always somebody at the Masters or the U.S. Open, and you're going, huh? And speaking of golf, Michael Colgate, UNK, 5-under 66 yesterday. He has a three-way tie for the lead. This is the U.S. Publix. These are guys that play a majority of their golf on public golf courses, and it's noted the way they play, and it's the final time that they're ever going to play this tournament, 88 or 89th year of this, and it's just down in Newton, Kansas, and I've heard some horror stories about how tough that this Sand Creek Station golf course is down there. He was the only player that didn't bogey a hole. He tees off at 120 today. The bottom line is just keep it together, and he's going to advance to match play. There's 156 guys, got to be in the top 64 for match play tomorrow.
If you're headed down to Wichita and you get an afternoon to play some golf, play it. It's a track. Yeah. It's a track that'll eat your lunch.
I bet you had a bogey.
Oh, I had a – what do you mean, had a?
Also, UNK Hall of Fame, I don't even think we've run this down yet, came out this morning. Five former athletes, Kenya Crandall, basketball, number one in career assist, still is. He was in the top 10 scoring when he graduated, and that slid down a little bit. Class of 96. Class of 98, Mike Smith, football. He was an all-purpose player from 95 to 98. Then you've got a couple of folks from the class of 2003, Beth Swift Dye. She was a two-sport athlete. She was the Armat Co-Basketball Player of the Year in 2001, Player of the Year in 2002, lettered all 4 years. She also was a two-time letter winner in tennis, where she was an All-Armat selection in 2002. Frank Kuchera, the second national champion in UNK history, when he won it in 2003 at 174 pounds, he's going in. And Cindy Cohn, class of 97 in softball, she was the Armat Co-Player of the Year, first-team All-Conference twice, still holds the school records for starts and complete games. And festivities will be the weekend of September 19th and 20th. The football game that Saturday is Missouri Southern State. Folks, don't forget, if you want to make things look good in your yard and maybe some of this hail and wind has wrecked what you have at your office, at your home, at some of the land you own, well, think of Lawn and Landscaping. Think of Johnson Lawn and Landscaping. They've got the shrubs, they've got the trees, they've got the rocks, the custom concrete edging, which can put together what you have done so well with over the years. And maybe it's just time for you to do something new. Maybe the storm had nothing to do with it. And imagine your yard looking like you spent hours on it with the help of Johnson Lawn and Landscape. They get the work done. Serving the Tri-Cities online at NebraskaLandscape.com. Call them 237-LAWN. And don't forget to stop into the nursery located just beside Yellow Van on 6th Street in Kearney. Proudly landscaping Nebraska and doing amazing work at Johnson Lawn and Landscape. We'll be right back to wrap things up.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
If your company or farm is accepting bids on replacing your roofing system, call the company that provides the best products, the best workmanship, and the best service after the job is completed. Lampman Roofing Company. Your project is not handed off to some subcontractor. Eddie Lampman is personally on every job assuring you that your project is always the top quality that you expect. Lampman's spray-on weather and waterproofing systems make your roof look and work like brand new for many years to come for a lot less money. Farmers enjoy Lampman systems that seal leaky grain bin walls and roofs. For a free, no-pressure quote, call 800-942-4331 or 402-670-9167. Saving you on your re-roofing and energy, Lampman Roofing Company. 800-942-4331 for your quote. An A-plus rated Better Business Partner.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry supplies for a combined 140 years of experience, including the new showroom in Grand Island on West Highway 30. Stop in today and let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and the value of your home and business. Kearney Crete and Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Doug and Daddy's show wrapping things up. What'd you think of the new college football trophy? You know, I'm going to be honest. That never occurred to me. The crystal is as cool as the trophy as there is out there. the Crystal football. And it never occurred to me that college football, they're going to hand out this trophy that's not sponsored. Huh? What?
You just wait.
Well,
it'll be sponsored.
Why didn't they just keep the same thing? And I guess if I haven't read or dove into this enough, but why not keep the Crystal football? That's what people want. That's what's associated with winning the national championship. I mean, whoever wins this, I think they tried to design it too much like the Super Bowl, the Lombardi Award. They didn't have to make it big and gaudy, and they sure didn't.
I just think that they don't want it because this is the playoff now. It's not the BCS. And, like, I agree with you that...
And now Dr. Pepper has come on board
yeah.
as the sponsor of the playoff trophy. It's just different. So. Yeah. I didn't hear that at all yesterday when they were talking
about it. They take the crystal ball away because they don't want it to be – it's not the BCS anymore. It's just
–
I agree
BS.
With you. Right.
you could say it.
Because there's certain things that you associate with it. And you know, I'm – why should there be I mean, okay, fine. You're having the football playoff. But every student athlete, whether it be a hoopster, they all want that NCAA wooden trophy. You know, that wooden block – kind of
thingy deal.
Yeah, I don't even know how you design, but you know, football doesn't get one of those. So why do you have the special one for the guy that won the football playoff championship?
Nebraska senior receiver Kenny Bell, he's on the Biletnikoff Award watch list, which was released today. He was on it preseason last year, ranks fifth on career receptions. He's 32 back of Nate Swift, so you would have to think as long as he is healthy all season long, he's going to take care of that. Third in receiving yards, he's about 578 behind Johnny Rogers, so have some work to do there, and he's going to need somebody to throw him the ball. Coach Pelini confirmed yesterday that incoming freshman defensive end DeAndre Willis has left the program, saying it is a mutual decision. He committed to Nebraska in the final week of January on his official visit, so he's no longer there. And kind of from the news side, this is too bad. Former Husker, and I guess just as too bad no matter what, but when it says former Husker, Ben Martin, not good. A passerby called police about Martin when he noticed him slumped over in a gold Honda in a South Lincoln parking lot. This comes from the Lincoln Journal Star, and saw rifle ammunition on his lap when they went to check on him. Police went to the Walmart, found him sleeping in his car, which was white, running, had the rifle rounds, and then, of course, they found about $15,500 of meth and over $48,000 in cash in his vehicle, and he has pled guilty. And he's looking to 15 years to life in federal prison for this. Yeesh.
Man.
Got to stay awake. We talked golf. The Nebraska Junior
You're really just saying got to stay awake.
Well, I mean, if as bad a trouble as you're in, isn't that what he's got to be thinking? How did I fall asleep in a Walmart parking lot? Now I'm going to prison for 15 years. I mean, it's all bad.
Right.
It's all bad. I'm not... But anyway, junior amateurs are going on down at Beatrice. And Allegiant Baseball, Kearney wrapped it up sweeping Lexington last night. Tonight, Hastings Johnson Imperial closes out their regular season hosting Lincoln North Star in a doubleheader. Your Allegiant tournaments, the B5 Juniors in Central City. Aurora will play Albion at 5:30. The winner will then play Minden in the final. The B6 Juniors in McCook, Broken Bow and McCook play an elimination game tonight at 7. The C6 Juniors are going on at Silver Creek. They're into the finals. Palmer Wallback Greeley is the undefeated team. Dannebrog Carroll Bullis would have to beat them twice, and Alma will have to beat Shelton Gibbon twice tonight in the C7 that's going on at Overton. And congratulations to Jay Stair, the new athletic director at Aurora. Clint Little takes over for Jay as the basketball coach and AD at Overton. A lot of stuff we covered today, and they're down to the final nine at the World Series of Poker, and they all look like they're about 32 years old. So one guy is on the final nine for the second consecutive year, which is quite the task when you're talking over 2,500 players. So there you go. Coverage on TV begins at the end of September. Also, the National High School Rodeo Finals are going on. Kind of got rained out yesterday. Those are in Rock Springs, Wyoming. And I know we've got the Diverin boys out there from Amherst around a variety of others from the listening area. And we'll try to keep up to date on that as well. But we want to thank Russ Hochstein going into the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame. Two-time world champion with the Patriots, Husker All-American out of Hardington. Also to Brian Barnhart, voice of the Fighting Illini, Dustin Peperak of Indiana's Bloomington Herald-Times. We'll preview the Hoosiers tomorrow. Justin Coleman, the former Loper All-American, also going into the Football Hall of Fame. He's going to join us tomorrow as well. Damon Day, go hit him straight, man.
Thanks, buddy.
We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game on!